Jesus came to die for your sins that you might have life. Do you understand everything is planned out? Oh, I know it catches you by surprise. Stuff catches me by surprise. I'm not God. I don't know what's getting ready to happen. But God, well, God knows. And God is even preparing you today for what tomorrow's going to bring. See, he knows the best way to prepare you. And everything is in his timing.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. David is the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. While we may try to complicate things in life, the gospel is very clear. Jesus came to die for you so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you may have eternal life. Today, Pastor David McGee explains the gospel as he continues in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. But before we get into today's teaching, our heart at Cross the Bridge is to share the life-transforming Word of God with as many people as possible so that they can cross the bridge from death to life. And one of the most important ways we do that is through a special group of friends called Bridge Builders. With a regular monthly gift by credit card or check, Bridge Builders help transform lives through the gospel by faithfully supporting the global broadcast of Pastor David's biblical teaching. Please contact us now to become a Bridge Builder and help more people cross the bridge from death to life. Go to crossthebridge.com. Again, that's crossthebridge.com. Or call 877-458-5508. Now here's David McGee with his teaching, God is a God of Multiplication.
John chapter 12, verse 12. It says, the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Now, this is kind of interesting. Jesus does not rebuke them for saying this. Now, why is that interesting? Because at other times, if you remember, he talked about it was not yet his time. One of those places is John chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. It says, then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it, that its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. And in other places in Scripture, we see where they were trying to make him king, and he just walked away. He disappeared. He walked away from the crew. So that's interesting. And what it does is it points out the significance of this day. Now, we're going to kind of come back to that in just a moment, but I want to point out something. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. It says, then 6 days before the Passover. And now go back to verse 12. It says, the next day, the day after. So now we're 5 days before the Passover. That's going to become important in just a moment. Verse 14. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. So they later looked at these incidences and saw God's revelation, God's promise, his prophecy concerning this day. Now, the prophecy here concerning him riding in on a colt was foretold in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. We kind of read this, and what happens with some passages of Scripture is we read them so much, we kind of overlook things. We get so used to it that we don't consider what's really going on. The King of Israel, the King of Glory, is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, understand, soldiers rode horses. And important leaders almost always came into town on a white stallion with lots of pomp and, you know, to do. And that's not the way that Jesus came in. Jesus came in on basically a work animal, a donkey, a pack mule, if you will. How humbling that is. I guess the modern day equivalent would be, you know, he if you'll allow me some license, he drove into Jerusalem in like a 15-year-old pickup truck. Okay, because it was kind of a common vehicle. It was a work vehicle. It was not a long stretch limousine, and he came in humbly. And we need to understand it because, see, the Romans probably looked at that and thought, who's this guy? But the children of Israel understood some of these prophetic things and understood that this was really important. This was the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, do me a favor, and I'm going to share something, and I'll share up front. It's, you know, if you're taking notes, you may want to jot some of this down because you might want to review it later. Because this is going to be, it's not a lot that I go into. Well, yeah, I guess it is a lot. I go into some of the details that you might not normally see in Scripture. But keep your finger in John chapter 12. And what I want you to do is turn back towards the front of your Bible to the book of Luke and go to Luke 19 and verse 39. Now, if you watch this and kind of pay attention, this is really, really amazing. And a lot of people aren't aware of this. But when you go to Luke chapter 19 and verse 39, we're going to read five or six verses here. It says, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. Now, the same thing's going on that we're reading. This is a parallel passage from John. Same thing's going on. It's the triumphal entry. Verse 39. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Verse 40. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep quiet, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. That's interesting. They're celebrating and he's weeping. Verse 42 saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Now, this is interesting to me because, you know, the more you dig in the Bible, you know that there's nothing in there by just happenstance. And Jesus mentions a phrase. He says, this your day in verse 42. And in verse 44, he says, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Might I suggest there was a time and there was a day that was prophesied that Jesus would come into Jerusalem? It sure appears that way. And in verse 40, when he says, you know, if these keep quiet, the stones would cry out. Why is that? What were the people doing? They were declaring him king. And I believe what Jesus is saying here, you know, if the people didn't declare me king, then the rocks would cry out and declare me king. Now, in my twisted mind, I kind of wish the people wouldn't have said anything just so everybody could see that, but is there something in the Hebrew Scriptures about forecasting, predicting the day that Jesus would come into Jerusalem and be pronounced king? Well, yes, there is. In the book of Daniel, we'll bring it up on the screen here. Chapter 9, verse 25 of Daniel says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. It mentions Messiah the Prince, Messiah the Royalty, Mashiach Najid in the Hebrew. So it's saying there is some sort of time frame here, but it says 7 weeks and 62 weeks. What could that possibly mean? Obviously, it was years after Daniel that Jesus went into Jerusalem. Well, you see, there's something going on here, and you need to understand real quickly. The Hebrew word there for 7 weeks is Shabua or Shavua. And it comes from, you know, we use the word Sabbath with this Shabbat, and that Shabbat is the day in Hebrew. And that comes, from the word Shiva, which is seven in Hebrew. Why is that important? Because sometimes it's designating a seven-day period, and sometimes it's designating a seven-year period. Sometimes it's 7 weeks, sometimes it's 7 years. Now, if you're sitting there and you've been here for very long, you know what I'm about to say. Don't just trust me on this. No, say, you know, Pastor David, show me in the Bible, right? Well, it's in there, man. Genesis chapter 29, verse 26, that Jacob and Laban thing going on. And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week And we will give you Shavua. And we will give you this one also for the service, which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. So you see how those terms are being used interchangeably, using weeks and years. A week is either 7 days or 7 years, and a week can refer to 7 years, and it does in this passage. And it says, fulfill her week and serve me still 7 years. You with me? So when we go back and we say 7 weeks and 62 weeks, we get 69 weeks. So 69 weeks, if they're weeks of years, times seven would be 483 years. The 69 weeks, the seven representing the number of years, we come to 483 years. Now, we need to remember that the Jewish year was 360 days. It was not 365 like ours. It was 360 days. So what happens when we say 483 years times 360, we get 173,880 days. Okay, so let me review real quick. We got 69 weeks that it talks about in Daniel. We've got, instead of the 7 day period, we're using the 7 year period. And we come up with 483 years. We take that 483 years and we multiply it by 360 days, which is the length of the Jewish year. And we get 173,880 days. I'm attempting to do in about 10 or 15 minutes what it takes a whole book to do, really, but bear with me. So, now, we don't measure our calendar by the Jewish calendar. Everybody with me? It's a different calendar. There's actually two different Jewish calendars, but we're not going to get into that. Our year, and most of you are aware of this, is 365 days. So what we need to do now is divide this 173,880 days by 365. So when we divide that up, what we come up with is 476 years and 25 days. 476 years and 25 days. Now, Daniel says in there that it's from the coming, from the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. If we could have the date when the command went forward to restore and rebuild, then we could know. But we do have it in Nehemiah, because it tells us at the first of Nisan in the 10th year of the king. So we can actually compute, because the new moon starts the month of Nisan. They can simply go back on a lunar calendar and figure out that long ago when there would have been a new moon. And when they do that, they come up with the date March 14th, 445 BC. They know this date. I mean, it's just jumping back. March 14th, 445 BC. Now, it's given in Nehemiah 2, if you want to check me up on that, or check up on me on that. Okay, so it's recorded with Artaxerxes and that whole thing. So, going forth to the rebuilding of the temple.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more from God's life-transforming word in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to help transform more lives through God's word, become a bridge builder today. Bridge builders give a regular monthly gift by credit card or check to support the global broadcast of Pastor David's gospel teaching on radio, television, satellite, and online. These programs take Christ's message of eternal life to millions around the world. And as a thanks for becoming a bridge builder today, Pastor David will send you a special signed copy of his book, Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure. Go to crossthebridge.com today and help transform more lives as a bridge builder. That's crossthebridge.com or call 877-458-5508. Now let's hear more of today's teaching in the Gospel of John from Pastor David McGee.
Okay, so we've got one date. Now, this chapter mentions Passover, right? It mentions Passover. So do we know what date Passover was that year? Well, again, all we have to do is guys who really enjoy doing things like this, they just go back and they count the lunar calendar again. And because Passover is on the full moon of Nisan, it's always on the full moon of Nisan, and that's why the date changes every year. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But the full moon of Nisan in 32 AD was on April 11th. That's when Passover was, April 11th, 32 AD. But let me remind you, let's go back to John chapter 12. Let me remind you of something here. In John chapter 12, it says 6 days before the Passover. You ever read that and thought, why are they telling me that? I do. I just that's the way I study the Bible. Every detail, I'm like, why are we told that? And then we're told in verse 12 that it was the next day. That means it's 5 days before Passover. You with me? So here's what happens. When we take the date, March 14th, 445 BC, and we add 475 years, 25 days, you come to April 6th, 32 AD. The exact day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, prophesied 480 some years before to the day. Now, I didn't come up with this, and it's the theory's not without its critics. The guy who came up with it, his name is Sir Robert Anderson, wrote a book called The Coming Prince. You can actually find it online. Sir Robert Anderson wasn't a theologian. He wasn't even a preacher or a pastor. Sir Robert Anderson was a Christian who was the chief inspector of Scotland Yard. And he went through the lunar calendar and took years to do it to show the veracity and the validity of this concept. See, now when you take that, the words of Jesus make a lot more sense when Jesus says, you didn't know the day that I was coming. You didn't know the time that I was coming into Jerusalem. It's mind-boggling that it was predicted to the day hundreds of years in advance. But see, there's never a detail in the Word of God that is there by happenstance. Now, perhaps you're sitting there and you're going, okay, well, that's really neat. I'm trying to make some sort of personal, practical application out of this, and I can't get there. Well, God, who loves you, who has a plan for your life, planned out from the foundation of the world. And then Gabriel told Daniel almost 500 years before the day Jesus came into Jerusalem, that is the God who has a plan for your life. See, God is not in plan B for your life. God knows your beginning, your end, your in between. Oh, I understand. We look at time. Well, I've heard it described, it's like a parade going by and we're kind of looking through a crack in a cardboard box. That's the way we see time. That's not the way God sees time. God is like in a helicopter above the parade. He sees the beginning, the end, where the turns are, the whole deal. Nothing, friend, nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing catches him off guard. So why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come in to Jerusalem? To die for your sins. To die for your sins. And to stop and fathom that the Lord himself has planned so many things down to the minutest detail. You know what? That encourages me. That encourages me. Because see, sometimes we look at God as kind of like, and we talked about this Thursday night, we look at God as God is kind of a little bit stronger than us. We look at God as kind of, he's a little bit older than us. But reality is, the scripture says, there is none like him. Now, some people say, well, you know, Satan is the opposite of God. No, he's not. No, he's not. That's giving him way too much credit. The opposite of Satan is like Gabriel or Michael, another angel. He's not the opposite of God. God has no opposite because there's none like the Lord. The ultimate life lesson here. Jesus came to die for your sins so that you might have life. Jesus came to die for your sins that you might have life. Do you understand everything is planned out? Oh, I know it catches you by surprise. Stuff catches me by surprise. I'm not God. I don't know what's getting ready to happen to me. So, you know, how can I know what's getting ready to happen to you? But God, well, God knows. And God is even preparing you today for what tomorrow is going to bring. Why? Because he knows. See, he knows the best way to prepare you. And everything is in his timing. So as you see things shaking loose in the Middle East, no reason for you to lose your peace. Because God has it all scoped out. God has it planned to the minute detail. There's an interesting thing in Luke 4:18, 19. Jesus stands before me and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." He stops there. It's kind of interesting that he stops there, because what he's doing is he's quoting from Isaiah. Now, I know it's we say Isaiah, it's actually Isaiah, but you can say it however you want. Isaiah is easier, but he's quoting from Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, when it says the same thing, basically, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus stopped right there. He didn't finish the prophetic reference. The prophetic reference continues and says, the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who are mourn. My point, we are living in the time of that comma. At some point, this prophetic statement gets completed. And when it does, it brings back Jesus Christ, not as the lamb to slaughter, but as the lion, the king of Judah. And that, friends, that's the real triumphal entry. You see, the first time he came in on a donkey and he came in humbled and he came in to die, that's not the way he's coming back. When he comes back, he's going to come back as the lion. And you know what? That day and that hour is in his planning. And that day is coming. And why am I harping on this? Because a lot of Christians are even beginning to teach that it's not a literal return of Jesus Christ. What happens when you know that that day is coming, you begin to live like that day is coming. So we need to talk about these things. Why? Because Paul encouraged us, and Paul is an interesting teacher. Jesus often repeated himself. Paul hardly ever repeats himself. He gets on a theme. He lays it out from beginning to end in a beautiful way. Jesus teaches differently. Jesus repeats himself. I used to wonder why Jesus repeated himself, and then I had children. Now, I finally got a hold on that one, you know. Don't do that. No, don't do that. That sort of thing. But Paul rarely repeats himself, so when he does, it's important to pay attention. Well, what does he tell us in Scripture in Thessalonians? He says, talking about the coming of Jesus, he says we should encourage one another with these words. And a few verses later, he says again, and encourage one another, even as you so do with these words. We should be encouraged that Jesus is coming back. We should look towards that point in time, knowing that it's coming, and we should allow it to impact our lives now. Because how do you want to be living on the day that Jesus returns? What do you want to be doing the day that Jesus returns? Then, friend, you need to be doing that today. You need to be doing that every day so that you can live in the hopeful expectation of the return of Jesus Christ. And not look back with regrets and go, "Well, you know, if I knew you were coming today, I would have done it differently." That's a sad tale. And Jesus feels so strongly about it. He told us the parable about the bridegrooms who didn't have any oil because they weren't ready. We want to be ready. We want to be ready because just like this day, the first coming was predicted to the day, the next coming, the second coming is predicted. Now, we can't see it in Scripture. I'm not getting ready to do a bunch of math to show you when the second coming is. We don't know. We don't know. But I know that it's coming. And because Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies in his first coming, he's got a great track record. If you worked with somebody and they were there every day for 10 years, what would you expect on the following day? You expect them to be there. Why? Because they had a proven track record. Jesus has a proven track record of fulfilling prophecies, friend. We can trust him.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me, that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead, that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free at 877-458-5508 to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Before we go, Cross the Bridge relies on friends like you to reach the world with God's life-transforming word. And today, we invite you to support that mission by becoming a Bridge Builder. Bridge Builders give a regular monthly gift to help broadcast Pastor David's gospel teaching around the world so millions can hear Christ's word of eternal life. And as a thanks for becoming a Bridge Builder today, Pastor David will send you a special signed copy of his book, Cross the Bridge to Life, Discover Your Adventure. Go to crossthebridge.com today and become a Bridge Builder and help transform more lives through the gospel. That's crossthebridge.com or call 877-458-5508. Also, if you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Eastern? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There you can watch Pastor David teach from his home church, The Bridge, in Kernersville, North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com. Next time on Cross the Bridge with David McGee, we'll hear more from the Gospel of John. We'll see you then.